You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Well, it's been a busy week in the city of Toronto for you basketball fans. We're in mourning. Our star player did not re-sign. Oh, Lord. Give us... on the good side, summer has finally arrived. Yay! We got some hot weather. Here's a little funny here for you. Told you to wear sunscreen. So, anyway, that's kind of my sense of humor. So, don't worry about that too much. We're in the middle of a summer series called Teach Us to Pray. And so I thought before we move forward into this week's message, which is part six, I'd give just a little bit of a recap so that we've had different speakers speaking. We started out, I kicked it off with something called Prayer Basics. And I encouraged everybody to plan prayer. Pick a time, pick a place without your cell phones. No mirrors even to distract you looking at yourself. Yeah. A place and a duration and also to encourage you to say your prayers. Sometimes we think prayers. You know, thinking isn't always praying, actually. It's best to actually say your prayer. Jesus said, when you pray, say. Or another way, I have a hard time saying things out loud, so or write. But take those embryonic thoughts and put them down or say them out. So we talked about a little bit of some prayer basics. We looked at sincere prayer. And if the Lord's Prayer is the outline for prayer, the book of Psalms has historically been the prayer book of the Bible. And Pastor Richard did a great job on talking about the Psalms as the prayer source. Sheila and I have been spending extra time in prayer using the Psalms. She said to me the other morning, she said, man, those Psalms are really raw. It's like, I'm getting tired of reading about the wicked and about sorrow and anguish as well as joy and gladness. The famous 4th century theologian Athanasius wrote to his friend Marcellus, and he wrote this. I thought this was good. Whatever your particular need or trouble, from this same book, Psalms, you can select a form of words to fit it so that you learn the way to remedy your ill. Under all circumstances of life, we shall find that these divine songs suit ourselves and meet our own soul's need at every turn. I thought that was powerful. So going back a few hundred years. Then we went on to prayer and meditation. We looked at Psalm 1, which is actually it's not actually a prayer. It's talking about the benefits of using prayer and meditation before you actually get into the other 149 Psalms. And Alex spoke to us about the roots of the tree going down and Jesus being that vine and how important it is to combine meditation in prayer. As Christians, we don't believe in just emptying our minds to be peaceful. We believe that God calls us to put our minds on His Word until it saturates us. And there's a powerful type of prayer that is also meditation. And then in part four, we looked at adoration, addressing, and now so we're starting to do a five-part series at this point where the first three were just some basics on prayer, and then we're taking 5 weeks on going through the Lord's Prayer, which some say have been the most recited words in English ever, were those lines of the Lord's Prayer. And so even people who are not religious often can recite the Lord's Prayer from hearing it at public events and things like that. And in part one, we looked at the address, which is calling God our Father. And looking at that, if we want to go from adoration, we have to start with even just having our attention on God and His attention on us. That moves us to awareness. Awareness moves us to appreciation. Appreciation to adoration. Richard also talked about the prayer of examine, which we're going to get into a little bit. This is a historical thing where you take stock of your day. He mentioned it briefly, but we're going to unpack it a little bit more and actually look at give you a resource of where you can actually take stock of your day through prayer. It's a wonderful method, an ancient method actually that is starting to make a resurgent. And so we'll talk about that in another series as we have the whole summer. And then last week we looked at submission. A lot of times when we think about praying the kingdom of God, we think about praying for the kingdom out there. But the first thing that has to happen is the kingdom has to come more fully in here. And so we looked at working, prayer being a process, using God's word, God's spirit to be more centered on him, and then finally actually more submitted to him. And so as we, Tim Keller, I love this quote, we put it up last week, it said, to pray for God's kingdom to come is to ask God to extend his royal power over every part of our lives, our emotions, our desires, our thoughts, and our commitments. And so it's all encompassing. We also gave this definition of prayer. As just the reading and the different podcasts I've been listening to on prayer, I put together this definition of sort of a summary of some of the stuff that I've been studying. I said this, prayer is the process of drawing near to God through his word and by his spirit, experiencing the riches of Christ as we become more centered on him, more submitted to him, and more directed by him. And it's the ongoing work of inner discipleship, really, is prayer and the word saturating into us more and more and more as we become more Christ-centered. We understand his riches, but we also understand living in his kingdom. I love the song we sang today about praying for the kingdom of God to come, both in our lives and in our world. So let's look at the Lord's Prayer one more time from Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So as we move forward and we look at, so we have the, in the Lord's Prayer, we have the address, our Father. And then the first petition is hallowed be your name. We actually want his name to be more hallowed in our life, and we're praying it for to be hallowed in the world. Then the next petition is for the kingdom of God to come. The next petition is for his will to be done. And now this petition, the fourth, is actually for our daily bread. And so I want to start with a question, because the Lord's Prayer builds. If we feel the love of the Father, our hearts are being full of adoration, have no other desire in life but to extend his kingdom, and are totally submitted to his will, what will we ask for? I'll let you just think about that for a sec. If we're walking in the love of the Father, we know he loves us. He's got our best. He's got our best. He's got our back. There's nothing that he's going to allow that's going to be for our harm. He might hurt us once in a while, but he won't harm us. He might cross our will, as we talked about last week, but only for our good. And we're full of his adoration. We have no desire but him and his kingdom, and we're submitted to his will. Then what would we ask for when we say, give us this day our daily bread? It's a great thought, isn't it? What would we ask for? Because I think if we don't understand the progression of the Lord's will, usually, at least my prayers, maybe I'm not as holy as you guys, but it usually comes out like something like, help! I'm desperate. I got problems and I have needs, and, you know, and it sort of starts from there. But when I actually come to the Lord and move through this progression and understanding his love once again, understanding who he is and his fatherly care for me, and all these things. And then I realize, no, I don't want this world. This world always lets me down. Every time I chase something of this world, it always ends up bad. I want your kingdom where it's righteousness and peace and joy and so much goodness. I actually do want that. And I do want your will. So I thought about this, and I think there's a few things, but I want to give three today that I think are good things that we should ask for when we pray for now our needs and our daily bread. First of all, provision. Our needs. Not necessarily our greeds. I love Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. It says this: two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. And so when we're asking, we see in this asking for the daily bread. And Augustine, who we read in early church prayer, he believed that this verse from Proverbs is a good extension of the daily bread prayer. He really believed when you prayed for your daily bread that this verse was just a great checkpoint. Because on the one side, next slide, if we don't have our basic needs met, we can resent God. But when we have riches, the tendency is to forget God. During a season of our life before we moved to Toronto, which moving back into Canada was difficult for us. We're Canadians, but we lived a number of years in the States. And for a number of years there, life was so good. Sheila and I looked at one another and said, did you pray a lot during those years? Not really. You know, it's amazing. You know, when things are going smoother, it's like the desperation for God wanes. I've often wondered, you know, in Canada, how could Canada go from a nation where 100 years ago in the province of Ontario, there was enough pews in the churches to seat every citizen of the entire province simultaneously. If everybody in Ontario went to church, there was enough seating in the churches. There was enough churches to seat 100% of the population. When my forefathers on my dad's side of the country were coming from Europe, there was starvation. To get a little piece of property, a land, when they were giving land away free in Manitoba and Saskatchewan and Alberta, some places Ontario earlier on, you know, and it's not that many generations forward, back. You know, my grandmother, she can remember the first time. She was born in 1900, died in 2001. She can remember the dirty 30s of just not having anything and the prayers of desperation in Canada for just food to be on the table. I've thought about this, like, how can we go from that, from the 1960s where about 70% of Canadians went to church every single week, to now, what do they say, 5% or less? And I think it's because this has become true, where all of a sudden, when riches increase, it's not God we need, it's the Canadian dream. You know, we need to renovate, we need to buy a home. We need to renovate that home. We need to get on the next vacation or whatever. And I've even noticed this, and I've shared it with some of the friends here in our church. I've noticed that even some on-fire Christians from parts of the world where Christianity is like just ablaze in Asia and Africa, how when they first come over here, they're so fired up and they're just injecting so much life and faith. And then pretty soon, this thing called the Canadian or the American dream begins to creep in. And all of a sudden, it's like that fire, that zeal, like it just... year by year, it just seems to diminish and to diminish and to diminish. And why? Because there's so many other things to grab our attention. There's so many other dreams that are forward to us. You know, you can advance your career. You can, it's addicting. It's addicting. You know, if you are from a third world country and you've never had home ownership to own that first condo or that first home, it's like, it's a wonderful blessing, but it can be such a trap to really what God would have for us. So there's a practical application. You know, we have quite a few students here, and when you graduate, you need a job. and we often are praying for jobs. You know me, if I find anybody, you know, when we're just before church or after church and you don't have a job and I find out, like, we start praying right on the spot. That's just, like, I'm believing God. This is a legit prayer. that you get a job. But when people's careers start moving down and their love for the Lord starts diminishing, I got a problem with that, because we're not now praying and asking God for our daily bread. We're asking for something more that actually takes away from the things that really matter and are really important. The other thing it says, pray for our daily bread. The great reformer Martin Luther noted that since we're asking for our daily bread, we're also asking for a thriving economy and a just society. And he said that we must pray against greed in our city and exploitation that oppresses the poor and prohibits them from getting their daily bread. In fact, tongue in cheek, he said, let them be aware of the intercession of the church when they pray this prayer. I thought that was awesome. Okay, what else can we pray for besides our basic needs? Second, I called it power or strength to do as well. It's not easy to be a kingdom person and to advance the kingdom of God. Paul, in one of his prison letters, four of the epistles or the letters that Paul wrote, one of the great leaders of the church, he wrote from prison. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, he wrote all from prison. And this is what he prayed for in one of the prison letters for the church in Ephesus. He said, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, through your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, the context of this verse was Paul had been thrown in prison, and he said, don't be alarmed at the suffering that I'm going under. And you got to understand is that, because even in today, we have churches in some parts of the world where there is persecution. And if the pastor's taken out, the congregation's next. So that's the way it goes. And so they had gotten the leader, but there was also a persecution that were coming against all the believers. And so this was why Paul was saying, hey, as we're advancing the kingdom here, and if you look in Ephesians 2, he talks about his ministry to preach to the Gentiles, and he's talking about the context of kingdom expansion. And in the midst of that kingdom expansion, we got to pray for strength. We need to pray for our brother who just shared this morning. It's not easy to advance the kingdom. It's easier in some places than other, but it's never easy. And when you embark upon a life of following Christ and expanding his kingdom, you will hit up against opposition. And so we need strength. And we should pray for our daily bread. We should be praying for that strength from God. Lord, help me to keep living for you, to move forward. God, it's not easy. It can wear you down. You know, we're not celebrated necessarily, you know, our beliefs and things like that. And many times, you know, the convictions that we have as followers of Christ are maligned. They're not in sync in many times, and it can wear on us. It can be overwhelming. I mean, sometimes that some of the criticism that we have of the church has been valid, and I'm not saying that, but not all of it. And thirdly, short sermon today, actually. The third one I thought of was people. So we're not alone. Interesting. Sometimes we think it's all about, oh, God, give me more strength. And we do need that. But look at Paul's, from his letter in 2 Corinthians. He said, for even when I came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted on every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God who comforts the downcast, it's interesting, it wasn't the Spirit, comforted us by the coming of Titus, another person, one of his ministry partners. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. There's nothing like going through pressure and going through struggles when people who love you, committed believers who understand spiritual warfare, are saying, I'm with you. You can do this. Don't give up. Keep going. In my life, I realize that there's sometimes my waning is not because of a lack of the Lord's encouragement. It's a lack of encouragement from people sometimes. And you probably the same way. There's a life force, actually. We're made in the image of God. And there is actually a life force within us that we can give to other people by being in their presence. Now, sometimes there can be a draw, too, a negative one, you know, where you get around some people and you're exhausted after an hour being with them because they're pulling all the, you know, life out of and your energy, but they're not reciprocating by putting energy back the other way. And so in our lives, you know, we need a balance of both types of people. Sometimes there are people that they just don't have anything. They're just going through a tough time and we need to pour into their tank, right? Spiritual energy and encouragement. But I'm telling you, if you spend all your time doing that, pretty soon your tank gets empty. And all of a sudden, you don't have the energy to do it anymore. So fellowship or Christian connection with believers that can both give and take are vital. And I think we need to pray for this. I realize actually in my life, I've forgotten to pray for this. Or maybe I've given up praying for this. I'm not quite sure which. But I'm back. So if you're an encouraging person, you're part of my prayer. Even the great Apostle Paul, it's just amazing to me of how much he loved the Lord and he was committed to him, but he said it was the coming of Titus, and then when he found out that there were other believers that were talking good about him, but they had zeal for him, they said that they were actually longing for him, that they loved him, they had zeal for him, and so Paul said, I rejoiced even more. And I think we've all experienced this, but I think that we should pray that God give us the right people in our lives and that he give us discernment too of which people to pull closer. And it's not always the obvious choice. It's not always, well, here's a person that thinks like me, has the same hobbies as me. It might be that person, but maybe not. Maybe it'll be someone that is unsuspecting, that you think, wow, they're quite different from me and things like that. But for some reason, they have life on them. And if I draw close to them and they draw close to that, there will be a mutual strengthening of our lives. Just the last couple of days, I've actually very recently, experienced the power of just being around people who are encouraging. Thursday night, Sheila had friends over. One of the lady of the couple, well, both of them actually, she's known since she was 13 or 14 years old. And so having friends like that over and, you know, they've kept in some contact over the years, but to be like right there and they're just a wonderful, wonderful couple. They've been through a lot of stuff in their lives and are still happy and love the Lord, and just to barbecue outdoors and hang out the whole evening. It was incredible. And then we had friends over the next night again and more stuff. And it's interesting that just how full after you know 2-3 days of just quality people in my life, how I'm like, I'm doing great. And it's so true. And I make a bold statement. After the Lord himself, the people in my life have been the single most important thing that I've needed to live well. After the Lord himself, people in my life have been the most important thing that I have needed to live well. And so when we pray for our daily bread, if we're submitted to Him and we're not in that place of greed and chasing things that are just that God doesn't have for us, we can pray for our needs. And God is going to meet our needs. He's going to give you the job you need. He's going to give you the promotion you need. But He's not going to give you stuff you don't need. You know, I was wondering, you know, how many Christians, if they won the lotto, would actually backslide? Just a thought. So don't buy lottery tickets. So one last thought. Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread. And here's the other thing that I think is important of this, is I think a lot of us, because if you're like me, you like control. We like to map out more than a day. We like to say, I want to be good at least for a week. But there's something about walking with Jesus that He says, just give me a day. Just give me a day. I'll give you what you need for a day, and then I'll give you what you need tomorrow. In fact, He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have its own junk. Worry about today. And let me give you what you need today. And that's why prayer is so important, that there's a daily rhythm of it. In the Old Testament, there was a picture of the nation of Israel as they were coming out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness. God let manna or bread come down from heaven. But if you know the story, how long did the bread last? For those of you who know your Old Testament, just one day, right? And if they grabbed enough for 2 days, it would rot. And God was just giving them a picture. Walk with me daily. Just walk with me daily. They were allowed to gather twice as much for the Sabbath so that they didn't have to do any work at all. But other than that, it was a day worth. And so there's something about us that God is calling us. The Christian walk is one step at a time, a daily walk, and we don't walk alone. So we're entering into communion, the first Sunday of the month. And I thought a great thought would be here as we take Jesus symbolically, but His presence is with us in the elements. As we take the bread and we take the wine, as juice actually, as we take it, let's think about this now. Let's think of His daily bread. Let's think about He has ultimately given the provision. The reason why do you know why we can pray for people, why we can pray for strength, and why we can pray for our needs? Is because Jesus already paid a price. He paved the way for these prayers to be answered. He's the one who came from heaven to earth, who died and suffered and then rose again to show that He had victory and power over death itself. And so let's pray now, prepare our hearts for communion. I'll invite the band back. They'll play with us, play some worship as we take communion. Heavenly Father, thank You for the daily bread that You give us. Jesus, we thank You that You are the source of our bread, that You are the bread that comes down from heaven. And most of all, we do need You. We need the living bread in our lives every single day. And so as we come to Your table, Lord, as You said, do this in remembrance of You, we once again give You thanks and praise that all the blessings that You do give us, that it comes because of what You have already done. In Jesus' name. So the way we do communion here, I'll just invite you to stand, and we're going to start from the front and come up to the front here, take the bread, and just take it at the front. You can have a moment of quiet prayer if you like, and then you can put the cup into the tray. Don't take it back to your seats. Here at Every Nation Church, you don't have to be a member of our church. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then we invite you to take communion with us. If you're the person who said, look, I have Jesus in my life, I'm following Jesus, then this is something for you, okay? That's all we ask. If you haven't taken that step, we ask you to refrain this one part of the service. The Apostle Paul explained further communion when he said this, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night in which He was betrayed took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, He took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.